19.32
versus 12.02.
I want you to just sit with those two numbers for a moment. Don't think about, you know, currency. Don't think about stock tickers.
Just the physics.
Just the physical universe. 19.32.
12.02.
If you are an engineer or a supply chain manager or, frankly, anyone who's responsible for the P&L and precision manufacturing, the invisible gap between those two numbers is currently costing you a fortune.
It really is.
It represents a premium you are paying for literally nothing. Or, I guess to be more accurate, you are paying a premium for empty space.
It's a bold way to start, but you're absolutely right. We aren't talking about market fluctuation here. We're not talking about the whims of the stock exchange.
Bro.
We are talking about density, specific gravity. I mean, the atomic weight that dictates how much material you actually need to fill a specific volume. And right now, because of that gap between the density of gold, that's the 19.32, and the density of palladium, the 12.02 manufacturers are leaving an immediate 40% material cost reduction right there on the table.
And just to be crystal clear for everyone listening, that 40%, that isn't a rebate. It's not a supplier negotiation tactic.
No.
That is purely based on physics.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally independent of what the spot price did this morning in London or New York.
Exactly. The physics doesn't care about the market.
Right.
The physics guarantees the discount. You are simply buying fewer atoms to do the same job. It's that simple.
And yet, here we are. It's 2026. Gold is exceeding $2,500 an ounce.
I saw that.
I was looking at the charts this morning, and it's just a vertical line, straight up.
It's unbelievable.
And I look around the industry, and I see so many smart people, brilliant engineers, people I really respect, people building the future of tech, and they're sticking to the status quo like glue. They were sticking to hard gold specifications that were written when I was in elementary school.
Literally, from the 1980s.
And in today's market, that isn't just conservative engineering anymore. That is, well, it's bordering on financial negligence.
That's a harsh reality, but it's one we have to face. If you aren't looking at that atomic difference, you aren't just overspending.
You're underperforming.
You're likely underperforming. The world has changed, the physics hasn't, but our understanding of how to apply it certainly has.
Welcome to Reflections. I'm Oliver Watts.
And I'm Emma Rhodes.
Today we are doing something a little different.
We are.
Usually we talk about the broad strokes of industry trends. You know, supply chains, macroeconomics, the big picture stuff.
The 30,000 foot view.
But today we are zooming way in, literally to the microscopic level. We are looking at the angstroms and the crystal lattices.
We are.
We are talking about the golden era of manufacturing and specifically why it is officially over.
Right. For decades, hard gold was the default answer. It was the easy button. If you needed a high reliability connector, you plated it in gold.
It was a safe bet.
It was the safe bet. But the mission of our deep dive today is to help those engineers, those QA pros, and those procurement managers realize that the safe bet has actually become the risky one.
That's a great way to put it.
We want to help you streamline processes, slash costs, and maybe even hit those sustainability targets for your mission-critical components.
So we have a stack of research here on the desk. We've got a heavy white paper. I see it's titled Beyond the Gold Standard. We've got ASTM standards, some case studies on reliability from some of the biggest names in connectivity.
Yeah, there's a lot here.
And it lays out a really compelling case for what they're calling the palladium nickel revolution. It's dense, it's technical, but it's incredibly important. So where do we even begin with all this?
We have to start with the psychology.
The psychology. I thought we were talking about metallurgy. I was ready for electron microscopes and everything.
We are, and we will get to the atoms, I promise. But the barrier isn't the metal. The chemistry is solved.
Yeah.
The barrier is in the mind.
Oh.
So first, let's address the elephant in the room. Why are we still so addicted to gold? Why is it that when we close our eyes and think of quality, we see gold?
It's true. It's the safety illusion, isn't it?
It is.
I've been in those design reviews. You know the ones I'm talking about.
Oh, I know them well.
You have a new connector for, say, an EV battery management system or a 5G tower, and everyone is stressed about the timeline. And someone asks about the plating.
And the senior engineer leans back in his chair.
Leans back and says, just use hard gold. It's what we used on the last one. It's what we used 10 years ago.
Right.
It feels safe. It feels like you can't get blamed for choosing gold.
Exactly. It's the path of least resistance. It's the old nobody gets fired for buying IBM mentality, but it's applied to plating. Hard gold, which is usually a gold cobalt or gold nickel alloy, it's been the standard for 50 years. But here's the reality check. In the current market of 2026, safe is actually risky.
Okay.
And we can break that risk down into two very distinct buckets, financial and technical.
Let's unpack the financial risk first, because that seems obvious with gold hovering at $2,500 an ounce. I mean, that hurts the bottom line immediately.
It does.
But I feel like companies just kind of accept it as the cost of doing business.
And that's the trap. It goes deeper than just the high price. It's the volatility.
Okay.
When you rely on thick, hard gold, you are tying your profitability to a volatile commodity market.
Mm-hmm.
The source material calls it a geopolitical roulette wheel. And I think that's a perfect description. Gold reacts to fear. It reacts to inflation. It reacts to wars.
All the things you can't control.
Exactly. If you are a manufacturer, you want predictability. You want to know what your bill of materials is going to look like 6 months from now. With gold, you simply don't have that luxury.
You don't.
You are exposing your margins to forces completely outside your control.
That's a nightmare for a CFO. You can't hedge that perfectly every single time.
You can't.
But then there is the technical risk. And this is the part that I think surprises people. We tend to think, well, gold is the best. It's the noble metal. It doesn't corrode. It conducts perfectly. So we just assume it naturally performs the best in all scenarios.
Right. The myth.
But that's not necessarily true anymore, is it?
No, it's not. The variable that has changed is the application. Think about the world in 2026. We aren't just plugging in a toaster anymore.
There you go.
We have electric vehicles. We have 5G infrastructure. We have this massive miniaturization of consumer electronics where the connectors are microscopic.
Uh-huh.
These applications have outpaced gold's capabilities. Mm. Gold is soft. It is inherently a soft metal.
It is.
It is too soft for the high vibration, high heat world we live in now.
So we have this tension. On one hand, you have the desire for progress engineers want to make things smaller, faster, more reliable. On the other hand, you have the inertia of legacy prints, the we've always done it this way problem.
Right.
It's like trying to run a modern F1 car on tires made of wood because they worked on a wagon in 1850.
That's a bit of an exaggeration, but the sentiment holds up. That inertia is dangerous.
It is.
The hesitation to switch to palladium nickel is purely psychological. It's not technical. As we are going to see, the science is settled. This isn't experimental anymore. We are not asking you to be the guinea pig here.
Okay, so let's get into that science. Next, let's get into the metallurgy. What is this replacement system actually made of?
Good question.
Because I think some people hear substitution and they think cheap knockoff. They think we're cutting corners.
Like swapping real sugar for corn syrup or something.
Exactly. But that's not what we were talking about here, is it?
Far from it. This is an upgrade, not a downgrade. We are talking about palladium nickel, or PD&I. Specifically, we are looking at an alloy that is usually 80% palladium and 20% nickel.
Okay, 80-20.
Or sometimes a 75-25 split. But it's not just a slab of alloy. It's a very specific architecture.
A sandwich.
A sandwich is a great way to visualize it. Let's build it from the bottom up.
Okay.
Imagine you have your base metal, usually a copper alloy like phosphor bronze or beryllium copper.
Right, the connector itself.
On top of that, you have a nickel underplate. That's your foundation. It prevents the copper from migrating up into the precious metal layer.
Got it.
Then the core of the system is the palladium nickel. We are talking about 15 to 30 micro inches of this alloy.
And this is the crucial part that I think confuses people. There is a cap on top of that.
Right. A flash of pure gold. Just 3 to 5 micro inches, extremely thin.
So nickel base, PD&I core, gold cap. Why this specific combination? What makes this better than just using solid hard gold? Why do we need the sandwich? Why can't we just have the filling?
It comes down to a field of engineering called tribology.
Tribology. That's a $5 word. That's the study of wear, friction, and lubrication, right?
Precisely. It's the study of what happens when two surfaces rub against each other. And in the world of connectors, tribological superiority is everything.
It's life or death for the component.
Absolutely. We have to look at the hardness factor. Let's look at the data points in the research. We measure hardness using something called NUP hardness, or HK.
Okay.
Imagine taking a tiny diamond pyramid and pressing it into the metal to see how much it dents. Standard hard gold usually clocks in somewhere between 140 and 200 HK.
Okay, 140 to 200. That gives us a baseline. That's hard relative to, say, lead, but in the grand scheme of metals.
It's relatively soft. Now look at palladium nickel. It clocks in between 400 and 550 HK.
Whoa. Okay, so it's more than twice as hard.
Significantly harder. And here's where the sandwich analogy comes in really handy.
Right.
Think of the PDNI layer as an anvil. It is the super hard support structure. The gold flash is sitting on top of that anvil. Because the PDNI is so hard, it supports that thin layer of gold and prevents it from cracking or deforming under load.
I love that image. The anvil supporting the gold. It reminds me of the difference between putting a thin sheet of paper on a mattress versus putting it on a concrete floor.
Go on.
If you poke the paper on the mattress, you punch right through because the support gives way. On the concrete, the paper is supported.
That's a perfect analogy. We often call that the eggshell effect.
Yeah.
If you put a hard layer over a soft substrate like hard gold over a soft nickel, it cracks like an eggshell when you put pressure on it. But with PDNI, the support is solid.
And this translates directly to wear resistance.
Directly. Because if I'm plugging and unplugging a connector, say a charging port or a data cable, that friction wears down the metal.
Every single time.
In high cycle testing, we are talking 10,000 mating cycles or more, PDNI shows negligible change in resistance. We call that delta R.
Delta R, okay.
You measure the resistance before the test and after. With PDNI, the resistance stays stable, but with hard gold. Because it's softer, remember, only 200 HK, it often wears right through.
It just grinds away.
You wear away the gold, you hit the nickel substrate, and boom, failure.
And failure in a connector isn't just it stops working. It can be intermittent, which is, I think it's even worse.
Oh, it's so much worse. It works, then you hit a bump in the road and it doesn't work. Then you wiggle it and it works again.
It drives consumers crazy.
And it drives service technicians insane.
Oh, absolutely. Intermittent failures are the hardest to diagnose. And that brings us to the fretting problem. This is a huge issue in the automotive world, especially with EVs.
So define fretting for us. For the listeners who might not deal with it every day, I know it's bad, but what is physically happening?
Fretting is wear caused by low amplitude vibration. Think about a car driving down the highway. Everything is vibrating slightly.
But a little hum.
It's not a big movement. It's a jiggle. Those connector pins are rubbing against each other back and forth microscopically millions and millions of times.
Yeah.
It's not a full unplug-replug cycle. It's just shivering.
If you have soft gold in that situation.
If you have soft gold, you get what's called the galling effect. Because gold is soft and sticky, it literally gets ripped off the surface due to adhesive wear.
It just tears away?
It's like pulling tape off a painted wall. It takes the paint with it. It exposes the nickel underneath.
And nickel oxidizes.
Nickel oxidizes. And suddenly your conductivity plummets. Your sensor fails.
Yeah.
Your screen flickers. All because of that tiny vibration.
But the PDNI.
The PDNI is harder. It resists that adhesive wear. It doesn't gall like gold does. So for high vibration environments, which is basically anything with a motor or a battery in 2026, PDNI is mechanically superior. It just refuses to be rubbed away. It holds the line.
So we've got hardness covered. It's a clear win. But reliability is also about chemistry, right?
Yeah.
It's about keeping the bad stuff out.
Right. Chapter 3, the chemistry of reliability. We need to talk about porosity.
Porosity. Okay. So basically, how many holes are in the cheese?
In a way, yes. When you plate metal, you are depositing atoms one by one. You want them to form a solid, continuous sheet. But in reality, microscopic pores can form.
And that's bad.
It's very bad. If a pore goes all the way down to the base metal, corrosive gases can get in and attack the copper.
And this is where the atomic structure of palladium nickel shines, right?
It really does. PDNI forms a much tighter crystalline lattice during electrodeposition than gold does. It just packs together more efficiently.
So it's more organized.
Think of it like building a wall. Gold is like piling up big, round boulders. There are always going to be gaps. PDNI is like stacking bricks. It's tight.
So it's a better barrier.
Much better. In fact, we call it a gas-tight seal. The data from ASTM B799 testing, that's the standard test where they blast the part with sulfur dioxide vapor, really nasty stuff.
Yeah, that'll find the holes.
It shows that a thinner layer of PDNI, say 15 microinches, often outperforms a thicker layer of gold, like 30 microinches.
Hey, hold on. Let me sure I caught that. 15 microinches of PDNI is a better barrier than 30 microinches of gold.
In many cases, yes.
So you are using half the thickness, but getting better protection against corrosion.
Exactly.
That is wild. That's doing more with less, quite literally. And then there is the temperature factor. We mentioned EVs earlier. Engines get hot. Batteries get hot. Fast charging gets very hot.
Thermal stability is critical. And hard gold has a real weakness here. It starts to degrade and soften around 150 degrees Celsius.
150 C.
Now, in the old days of consumer electronics, 150 C was plenty high.
Mm.
Your Walkman wasn't getting that hot.
Not unless something was very wrong.
But in an EV powertrain, or right next to a CPU in a server farm, that's pushing the limit.
And PDNI.
PDNI remains stable up to 395 degrees Celsius.
395. That is a massive difference.
It is.
That's more than double the thermal stability.
It's the difference between a part surviving a thermal spike and a part failing catastrophically. If you are designing for automotive reliability, that number alone should make you switch. Gold is simply not designed for the thermal loads of 2026. At 150 C, gold atoms start to diffuse, the structure weakens, TDI just sits there, happily doing its job.
Okay, I have to ask the obvious question then. If PDNI is so great, it's harder, it's a tighter barrier, it's more heat resistant, why do we keep the gold flash?
Oh.
Why not just do 100% palladium nickel and call it a day? Why put the enemy, so to speak, back on top?
That is the art part of the equation.
Okay.
We keep the gold because of its surface chemistry. We need that specific lubricity. Gold is naturally slippery in a tribological sense. It provides a very low contact resistance right at the surface.
Through handshake.
Exactly. It's the perfect handshake. But there is another more technical reason.
Oh.
Pure palladium has a quirk. Under certain conditions, specifically when rubbing against itself, it can form a friction polymer.
A friction polymer. That sounds like science fiction. What is that?
It's basically a catalytic behavior. Palladium is a catalyst, after all. We use it in catalytic converters.
Right.
Ideally, what happens is it takes organic vapors that are just floating in the air, and it polymerizes them right on the contact surface. It creates this kind of brown organic residue.
And that's bad for conductivity.
It's terrible. That polymer acts like an insulator and increases resistance.
Ah, I see. So the gold flash seals the palladium?
Correct. The gold flash stops the palladium from interacting with the atmosphere and forming that polymer. It prevents the brown residue.
So you get the bulk properties from the PDNI, the hardness, the thermal stability, the barrier protection.
And you get the perfect surface properties from the gold. Yeah. It's a synergy.
It's the best of both worlds. You use the gold for what it's good at, surface contact, and the PDNI for what it's good at, durability.
It really is. It's utilizing the periodic table intelligently rather than just throwing the most expensive metal at the problem and hoping for the best.
Okay, we have covered a lot of ground in the last 15 minutes or so. My head is spinning a bit with the tribology and the lattice structures.
It's a lot, I know.
I want to hit the pause button for a second, the reset.
Good idea.
For those of you listening while on the plant floor, or maybe you're driving to a supplier meeting, let's recap the core takeaways so far. Because if you're going to pitch this to your team, you need the bullet points.
The elevator pitch.
Exactly.
Right. Takeaway number one, performance. Palladium nickel is harder up to 550 noob, and it's more thermally stable up to 395 degrees Celsius than hard gold.
And this is key.
Do not let anyone tell you it is a cheap substitute. It is a technical upgrade. It is a superior material for modern applications. Full stop.
Takeaway number two, structure. The system works because it is a composite. It relies on a PDNI core for durability and a gold flash to prevent friction polymers and ensure conductivity.
You need both parts. It's the anvil on the flash.
I like that.
And takeaway number three, psychology. The biggest barrier to implementation is not the data. The data is solid. The barrier is legacy specifications. It's that we've always done it this way mindset.
The technology is ready.
The question is, are you?
So, we've proven it works better. We've proven the science is sound. Now, let's talk about the part that gets the CFO's attention.
Let's talk about the money.
Yes.
Now, let's look at the P&L. This is the argument you take to your CFO. And it brings us right back to those numbers I mentioned at the very beginning.
19.32 and 12.02.
The density arbitrage.
It sounds like a finance term, and it effectively is. We established that gold has a specific gravity of 19.32 grams per cubic centimeter. Palladium is 12.02.
That is a huge difference. That's almost half the weight. It's not a small rounding error.
No.
Think about what you are actually buying when you plate a connector.
Yeah.
You aren't buying weight. You don't sell connectors by the pound.
Right.
You are buying volume. You need to cover a specific surface area to a specific thickness. You are buying atoms to fill a space.
Right. I need to cover this pin with 30 micro inches of metal. I don't care how heavy it is. I care how thick it is. I need the geometry, not the mass.
Exactly. And because palladium atoms are lighter and packed differently, you need fewer grams of palladium to fill that same volume than you would with gold.
So let's run a hypothetical. Even if the price per ounce in the market was exactly the same.
Let's say gold was $2,500 and palladium was $2,500.
The palladium part would still be cheaper.
Significantly cheaper. You're using less mass to do the same job. That is the physics-based discount.
It's immutable.
It is. The market can fluctuate all it wants, but the laws of physics don't change. You always have that density advantage. You are getting more volume per dollar.
And when you combine that with the fact that you can often use a thinner layer of PDNI to get the same protection like we talked about with the porosity test, using 15 microinches instead of 30, the savings just compound.
Yeah.
You're using a lighter metal, and D, you're using less of it.
They do. It multiplies. It creates a massive delta in the final cost per unit.
Wow.
And there's another financial angle here. Decoupling from volatility.
Explain that.
When your bill of materials is heavily weighted towards gold, you are at the mercy of one specific commodity market. And the gold market is driven by everything from inflation fears to geopolitical conflict.
It's so volatile.
It spikes when people get scared. By switching to a PDNA system, you are diversifying that risk. You are using less metal overall, and you are balancing your exposure between palladium and gold.
So it's more stable.
It allows for much more predictable long-term pricing models.
Which is exactly what procurement managers are dreaming of. They want to be able to sign a contract for 2027 and know what the price is going to be.
Right.
They hate the surcharge conversation. Hey, sorry, the war in X country drove gold up, so your connector costs 15% more this month. Nobody wants to have that call.
Precisely. It turns a variable cost into a much more fixed cost. It stabilizes the supply chain relationship.
So the physics makes sense, the money makes sense, but now we have to actually build the thing.
The hard part.
Finally, let's talk about execution. This is where the art meets the science, because I imagine you can't just flip a switch on the plating line.
This is a crucial point. You cannot just dump out the gold bath, pour in some palladium, and hit start. This requires process control.
It's about the alloy composition, right? We said 80-20.
Right. You have to keep that ratio stable. If it drifts to 60-40 or 90-10, the properties change.
You lose the benefits.
You lose the hardness or you lose the corrosion resistance. Maintaining that 80-20 split requires precise chemical monitoring and sophisticated control systems. You need real-time analysis of the bath chemistry.
And this is where a partner like Precious Plate comes in, I assume. They specialize in reel-to-reel manufacturing.
Reel-to-reel is the key to efficiency here. Instead of plating loose parts in a barrel, which is slow and wastes a ton of metal, the contacts are on a continuous strip.
Like a film reel.
Exactly. They zip through the machine. This allows for incredibly high speeds and, more importantly, selective plating.
Selective plating. That means only putting the metal exactly where you need it.
Exactly. If you have a connector pin, you only really need the precious metal on the contact area, the little spot where it actually mates with the other connector.
Right.
You don't need gold on the crimp. You don't need it on the carrier strip. You don't need it on the back end that gets soldered to a board.
So you are combining the density savings of PDNI with the precision savings of selective plating.
Yes.
You are literally painting the target with precious metal and leaving the rest bare or maybe tin plated.
And that's how you get to that 40% cost reduction number we teased at the start. It's the combination of material science, the PDNI, and manufacturing engineering, the selective plating. It's a holistic approach to cost reduction.
Now, I can hear the quality assurance managers listening to this, and they are getting nervous.
They're sweating a little bit.
Is this compliant? Am I going to get in trouble with the regulatory bodies? Is the UL inspector going to fail me?
It's a valid concern. Nobody wants to be non-compliant.
Yeah.
But the answer is no. This isn't going rogue.
Yeah.
The PDNI plus gold flash system is fully compliant with major industry specifications. We are talking about ASTM B867, We're talking about various IEC standards for telecommunications.
So the standards bodies have already blessed this. This isn't some new, untested idea.
Years ago, this isn't beta testing. In fact, for many industries, it is a drop-in replacement.
A drop-in replacement.
It is transparent to the end user.
Yeah.
If you swap a hard gold connector for a PD&I connector, the customer won't notice the difference visually. They won't notice a difference in function, except that the part will likely last longer.
That is the ultimate selling point, isn't it? It's cheaper and it lasts longer.
It's rare in engineering that you get a win-win like that. Usually you have to trade performance for cost.
The old fast, cheap, good pick too.
Exactly. Here, you're getting both performance and cost savings.
So let's play devil's advocate for a second. What is the risk of doing nothing? What happens if you just stick with the old prints? What if you just say, too much hassle to change?
The risk is that you bleed slowly at first. Your margins erode as gold climbs. We saw gold hit $2,500.
Yeah.
Who is to say it won't hit $3,000?
Or $3,500.
If you are stuck on hard gold, you have to eat that cost or try to pass it on to customers who are already demanding price cuts. You get squeezed from both ends.
And meanwhile, your competitors.
Your competitors who have qualified PD&I are producing more durable parts at a lower cost.
So they're winning the bids.
They are winning the bids. They are passing the durability test that your parts might fail. They are investing that save money into R&D for the next big thing.
That leads us perfectly into looking forward, Chapter 6, Future Proofing.
We need to look at the 2026 landscape. The source mentions the outlook. Think about what is driving the market right now.
EVs and 5G, it's all anyone is talking about.
Both of those technologies share a common trait. They are incredibly harsh environments.
They are.
EVs have high heat, high vibration, and high voltage. 5G infrastructure sits outside on a tower, baking in the sun, freezing in the winter, handling massive data loads.
And the old way thick gold is becoming a liability in those environments.
It is. If you are designing a connector for an autonomous driving module, you cannot afford a shredding failure.
No.
Lives are literally on the line. Hard gold is too soft for that application. You need the hardness of PD&I to survive that vibration.
So this transition is really about shifting your mindset, isn't it?
It's about transitioning from defense to offense.
Oh, I like that.
When you are stuck on hard gold, you are playing defense. You are constantly worrying about the gold surcharge. You are worrying about the spot price. You are trying to defend your margin. You are reacting.
And playing offense.
Playing offense means you have solved the cost problem with the material choice. You've locked in the savings. Now, your engineering team can focus on performance innovation. How do we make it smaller? How do we make it carry more current? How do we increase the mating cycles? You aren't handcuffed by the price of the plating. You are free to innovate.
That is a powerful place to be. Instead of fighting the market, you are leveraging the physics.
Exactly. You're swimming downstream instead of upstream.
You know, we've talked a lot about the numbers, the 19.32, the 12.02, the 40% savings. But what really sticks with me is that image of the anvil. The idea that we are building a stronger foundation for our technology, it feels like we're moving from a decorative era of gold to a functional era of engineered alloys.
That's the core of it. Yeah. We are moving beyond the surface level assumption that gold is best just because it's shiny and expensive.
Right.
We're looking at the crystalline structure. We're looking at the atomic density. That is where the real value is hiding. It's hiding in the things you can't see with the naked eye.
And for the people listening, the ones who have to sign off on these prints or the ones who have to explain the variance report to the VP, this isn't just theory. This is actionable.
It is. The sources we looked at, Precious Plate, the ASTM standards, the TE connectivity journals, they all point in the same direction. The industry is moving. The question is, are you moving with it? Or are you going to be left holding the bag of expensive gold?
So 6 months from now, do you want to be explaining a margin miss due to gold prices? Do you want to be making excuses about the commodities market?
Wait.
Or do you want to be the one who engineered a 40% cost reduction while improving product quality?
That's the choice. The science is there. The data is there. The only variable left is the decision to move.
And that brings us to the end of our deep dive today. But we aren't just going to leave you hanging with the theory.
Yeah.
We want you to take action.
Yeah.
Because knowing this doesn't save you money. Doing it does.
If you are still relying on legacy prints with thick, hard gold, you need to stop. You need to validate this for yourself. Don't take our word for it. Look at the ASTM specs. Look at the density charts. Run the numbers on your own BR bin.
But you also can't do this alone. You need a partner who understands both the chemistry and the manufacturing. you need to talk to Precious Plate.
They have the resources. They have the 10-point technical qualification checklist to help you figure out if your connector is ready for PDNI. Go to their website, join the email list.
That's preciousplate.com. But more importantly, if you have a specific part in mind, maybe that troublemaker part that's killing your margin or that new EV connector you're worried about, you need to talk to an expert about this.
Call a surface finishing engineer right now. The number is 716-283-0690.
One more time for the people in the back.
716-283-0690.
Stop paying for empty space. Stop letting the gold market dictate your success. Make the switch.
It's time to move beyond the gold standard. Thanks for joining us on Reflections.
We'll see you in the next deep dive.